And this is a artist's depiction of that actually happening there, except when you count the sons, there's only eight of them, the other four on the other side of the bed, but I didn't have enough room to get them all in there. Concerning the sons of Jacob here, H.P. Mansfield has a something that I kind of thought was of some interest. I don't know. Exactly how much importance you would place on something like this. But anyway, what he says is he defines the meanings of the names of the 12 sons of Jacob. Reuben being meaning see a son, Simeon is hearing, Levi is joined, Judah is praise, Zebulun is dwelling, Issachar means reward, Dan is judgment, Gad means a troop or a company, Asher means blessed or happy, Naphtali is wrestling, Joseph means adding, and Benjamin is son of my right hand. He says if you add a few words in there and move the punctuation around a little bit, you can come up with a sentence. And he says the sentence is, see a son, hear, join, praise, and dwell with him. He will bestow a reward at the judgment upon a company of blessed or happy ones who, after resting, will add further to the son of my right hand. Okay, now I'll just go ahead and leave that up there, but I'd like for us to turn over to the 49th chapter of Genesis, and we're going to read the first 27 verses. And this is concerning the blessings of the sons of Jacob. And Jacob called to his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency and dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, and defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi, our brethren, instruments of cruelty, are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be at the neck of thine enemies, thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal into the vine, and his ass's colt into the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for an haven of ships, and his borders shall be in Zidon. Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. And he saw that the rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and he bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant to tribute. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, and an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backwards. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at last. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind, let loose, he giveth goodly words. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him, But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hand were made strong by the hands of by the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crowns of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. And Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. First of all, we want to note particularly one thing here with regards to the reading. Gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. The period in which these events actually took place, when Jacob actually blessed his son, was, give or take some years, about 1600 B.C. So what last days was Jacob referring to? We make the suggestion to you that there is reference here to both the last days of Judah's commonwealth and the last days of Gentile times, which we believe to be concurrent with us today and to our future as well. I probably spent half his class walking back and forth over here because I've got a lot of transparencies. Hebrews, the first chapter, verses 1 and 2 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. The key phrase in that verse there is these last days. So the time period that the apostle was talking about there was the time in which he lived, these days in which he lived. And those days is probably up for grabs as far as exactly what day it was. We think probably somewhere around 52, 3, 4, 5 A.D. So the apostle then is referring to the last days as the last days, the time period in which he lived, which was around 53, 54 A.D. of when the writing was. Hebrews, the 9th chapter in verse 26, speaks of Christ's sacrifice as being at a time that Paul describes as the end of the world. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and verse 11, Paul there is comparing the Mosaic era and Israel's wickedness with his own time, and he says, they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. They are written for our admonition. That's what Paul is saying, our admonition. He's including himself, and he says, upon whom the ends of the world have come. So it's clear, at least to me, that the apostle felt confident that the era in which he lived would witness the terminal epoch of some period. And that which actually happened was, of course, the end of the Mosaic Age and the end of the Jewish Commonwealth, as predicted by the book of Deuteronomy, about the 28th chapter. Also, and this is kind of a side issue there, but the prophecy of the 70 weeks also pointed right specifically to this time in history, and there were many people who were expecting something to happen along about that time. They didn't know exactly what they were looking for. They were looking for some kind of salvation or Messiah or something, and then they'd look at John the Baptist and they say, is this the Messiah? Is this the person that we've been looking for? And they all mused in their hearts whether this man were the Messiah. So the country, the Middle East, the Jewish world was looking for a Savior or for a Messiah, and by virtue of their interpreting of prophecies, it had all focused and funneled down to about the first century A.D. And what they wanted didn't really happen. What they wanted was to be about 2,000 years away. The Mosaic Commonwealth was not intended to continue indefinitely. The time of its passing had arrived. The period of its duration was predetermined by Yahweh, but not revealed in the Law and the Prophets. But we know that when Christ came, he said concerning the Law, I am not come to destroy the Law, but I am come to fulfill the Law. And that's from Matthew, the 5th chapter. And this is from Help Us Israel, a quotation from Brother Thomas concerning the end of the Jewish Commonwealth. So when that came, which should supersede the Law, there was no more need for that institution. And we couple together this with that which came as a result of Israel's greatest sin, namely the killing of the man Jesus Christ. The destruction of Jerusalem came in 70 AD as a punishment, and we can clearly see that it was definitely the end of an era. This particular period of history we think Jacob had reference to as the pronouncements upon his sons, Reuben, Simeon, and Levi, typify the Jewish hatred that was aimed at the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to go through these one at a time and attempt to show how they are typical of events either in the last days of Judah's Commonwealth or in the last days that we are in the future to us. Reuben is seen as losing his place as firstborn because of instability and the defilement of his father's bed. And likewise, Israel after the flesh lost their honored position in favor of the Israel of God. Let's look at the 11th chapter of Romans. Romans 11th chapter, beginning in verse 11. Romans 11, verse 11, reading through 22. I say then, had they stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them? What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but toward thee goodness. And if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. So then, the antitype of Reuben, we think, is clearly seen in the first century A.D., that Reuben was the firstborn, but he was set aside in favor of another. And so, of course, was the nation of Israel. They were set aside in favor of the Gentiles. And this has something to do with what Jimmy was talking about last night. Simeon and Levi, instruments of cruelty. In their anger, they slew a man. And that word man there is from the Hebrew ish, and it speaks of a man of higher status. It speaks of a prince. A man of higher status, a prince. And in this particular case, this prince that is has reference to here was Hamor's son, a man named Shechem, the prince of the Hivites, whom Simeon and Levi slew for defiling their sister Dinah, or as Jimmy said, it very well may have been an attempt to rescue Dinah rather than to for avenging the avenging Dinah's defilement. But anyway, their anger was fierce and their wrath was cruel. The scenario of Genesis 34 and chapter 49 is highly typical of the time when the Levites would destroy the prince, that is the Christ, in their cruelty and in their wrath. They were instruments of cruelty, and in their wrath they slew the man of God. Jacob now turns his attention to Judah, who would be a praise to all the tribes of the nation of Israel. There are a number of things there that are said about Judah, the tribe of Judah. Concerning Judah, the scriptures, or Jacob says, "Thy brethren shall praise thee, thy hand shall be at the neck of thine enemies, thy father's children shall praise thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, because Shiloh shall come. People shall gather to Shiloh. His garments shall be washed in the blood of grapes, in the binding of the foal, and the ass's colt." I'll give you a little while if you want to write these down, but these are some verses that coincide with these things that Jacob said about his son Judah. So if you want me to, I'll put this one back up here and you can make some notes on that. But the verses that you see there apply to the things, what other places in the scriptures say about what Jacob said concerning his son Judah. You're done with that. Okay, if you didn't get them, I'd be laying up here. You can get that later. Okay, now concerning what Jacob said to his son Zebulun, he said, "Dwelling at the haven of the sea." Now that's kind of a peculiar thing to say to Zebulun there with regards to where he would be dwelling, because at the original allocation of the land when the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan to possess the land, they gave out the various allocations, and when they did that the first time, Zebulun was landlocked. And I looked for a map. I've got one at home, but I didn't bring it with me. But at that time, during the first allocation of the land, if I'm not terribly mistaken, I believe Zebulun was someplace in this area along about there. But anyway, he was all away from all the water. There was no sea around him, so Zebulun was landlocked. In the age to come, Zebulun's allocation in the land will be a gateway to the Gulf, from the Gulf of Aqaba and the Gulf of Suez to the Holy Oblation. And as you can see on this Brother Sully's map here, this right here is Zebulun's allocation in the age to come of the land, and it encompasses the Gulf of Suez and the Gulf of Aqaba. And it is the opinion of a number of brethren who studied this thing that they think this will be the gateway to the Holy Oblation, that when people come, say, for the Feast of the Tabernacles, that they'll come up the Red Sea, into the Suez Canal, in the Gulf of Aqaba, and they'll come up here and they'll be transported from here to the Holy Oblation in the age to come. But all that remains to be seen. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 56 with regards to this. Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mount and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. And it's simply a reference to the time when the house of God's house will be a house of prayer for all nations, and this is how the people are going to get to it. And also, let's look at Deuteronomy 33rd chapter. Deuteronomy 33, 18 and 19. And Zebulun, he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of the treasures hid in the sand. So this then, we believe, is a prophecy of the age to come, when the people would be going through and off to going through Zebulun to offer sacrifices in the age to come. They shall call the people unto the mountain of the Lord, and there they shall offer their sacrifices of righteousness. Issachar. He hath desired that which is good, resting between the inheritance, and having seen the resting place, that it was good, and the land, that it was fertile, he subjected his shoulder to labor and became an husbandman. Issachar bearing the burden here is suggestive of the burden of humanity which Christ bore, looking forward to the rest of the Sabbath of Sabbaths. And the Septuagint version reads, Issachar has desired that which is good, resting between the inheritance, and having seen the resting place, that it was good, and the land that it was fertile, he subjected his shoulder to the labor and became a husbandman. Look at Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father, at the right hand of the throne of God. So this, then, is the man who set his shoulder to the work, because he saw that the rest was going to be glorious, and he committed himself and dedicated himself to those things, which obviously is what we should be doing as well. Dan, he shall judge his people. The word for judge here in the Hebrew is D-I-Y-N, and it can signify to avenge as well as judge. Jacob realized that his salvation would come through this antitypical Messiah. In verse 18, we find the first use of the word salvation in Genesis 49, which is from the Hebrew word Yeshua. And from that word, there is derived the two words Joshua and Jesus. I have waited for thy salvation, O Yahweh. The man Jacob realized that salvation would come through the one whom Dan foreshadowed, even the avenger and judge and savior of his people, Messiah the Prince. Let's look at the 46th Psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Gad, a troop shall troop on him. Or, that is, a troop shall overcome him. Gad, representing natural Israel, speaks of a time we believe is back in A.D. 70. Luke 21, verse 24 says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down to the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled." At that time, the roles of the Jew and the Gentiles will be reversed. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32, verses 29 and 30. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? Look also at Zechariah, the 12th chapter. Beginning in verse 2. Zechariah 12, beginning in verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Jerusalem and Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength and in the Lord of hosts their God. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first. that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before him. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat. He shall yield dainties for a king. We believe that this verse anticipates the establishment of the royal kingdom in the age to come. Ezekiel saw the people of Israel bearing their tributes or their royal dainties in the vision of the kingdom. Let's look at Ezekiel, this 45th chapter. Ezekiel chapter 45. In verse 16. And all the people of the land shall give this oblation unto the prince of Israel. All the people of the land shall come and give this oblation to the prince of Israel. So in the age to come, these people will come and give their oblation, their sacrifices, and they'll make their obeisance to the Lord God Almighty in the holy oblation in the age to come. And this, we think, is what this speaks of in Genesis 49, verse 20, concerning Asher. A hind let loose, he giveth goodly words. In the Syriac, the verse reads, Naphtali is a swift messenger. And this may well signify the swiftness of the gospel being spread in the age to come. Isaiah 52 and verse 7 says, How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth out good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith to Zion, Thy God reigneth. The total significance of the blessings of Joseph we're going to be forced to leave unattended due to lack of time, and we've already looked at a few of them. But as we mentioned previously, the archers who grieved our Lord in shooting their bitter words at Joseph, they shot him and they hated him. Jacob said concerning Joseph, his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. The word for hated is satam, S-A-T-A-M, and it means to lurk or to lay in snares concerning Joseph. Let's look at Luke, the 11th chapter, and verse 54. Luke 11, verse 54. This is concerning the man Jesus Christ and the Pharisees who lay waiting for him. It says, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. But nonetheless, Jesus, armed with a superior knowledge than they, abode in strength by the mighty God of Jacob. In Psalms 80 and verse 17 says, Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So Jacob clearly has reference to the Messiah when he says that the shepherd, the stone of Israel, is from the mighty God of Jacob. Jacob has thus described the antitypical Joseph as God manifest in the flesh. The stone of Israel. This reference, we believe, foreshadows Christ as the foundation stone upon whom the house of God or the ecclesia is to be built. In regards therewith, let's go over to 1 Peter, 2nd chapter. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, 1 Peter 2, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up into a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. It also says in verse 25 of Genesis 49 concerning Joseph, that there would be blessings of the deep that lieth under. And this, we believe, speaks of these streams and pools of water that are hidden deep within the earth. And spiritually, we think they signify the deep or hidden truths of the divine word, and as such, they constitute the blessings that is attached to those things and those who seek them. David said in Psalm 1, verse 3, speaking of the righteous who are like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, whose roots reach deep into the earth to tap the source of life, that is, the water of life. And Jacob realized that these prophetic blessings being pronounced upon his son constituted the deep things of God, that is, the meat of God's word. The blessings of Christ to be revealed in the kingdom age will far outweigh any of the temporal blessings enjoyed by Joseph. These blessings will be a crown to Joseph, but only through Christ. And in the age to come, the antitypical increaser will be as John describes in Revelation 17, verse 14, when he said, Thou art the King of kings and Lord of lords. In the verse 27 of Genesis 49, it says concerning Benjamin, he says, Thou art the son of my right hand, and he shall raven as a wolf. What little I know about the man Benjamin, every time I read about Benjamin, I don't really think about Benjamin as something as ravening as a wolf, or as going out and being fierce and killing and all that. But if we think for just a minute, and if we'll remember what we read in Judges, the 3rd chapter, the 5th chapter, and the 20th chapter, it says concerning the tribe of Benjamin that they were being bragged upon for their military prowess at that time. Benjamin's name, of course, means son of my right hand, which speaks, of course, of Christ, when he shall judge among the heathen and shall fill the places with dead bodies. Look at Psalm 110. Verses 5 and 6. Psalm 110, 5 and 6. Here again, this is concerning Benjamin. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. The Lord at that time will do that. And Benjamin, of course, is the antitypical man who is at the right hand. Benjamin is the typical man who is at the right hand of the Father, and of course, it speaks of Christ. So such then are the prophecies of the last days that Jacob was speaking to his sons concerning. So then in type, we've seen a wide spectrum of predictions, many of which are even more detailed than we've shown here. So how could Jacob or his sons fail to recognize the gospel that they so faithfully long for? Hebrews 11th chapter says that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They were persuaded of them and embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And Abraham, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And sometime at your leisure, when you're reading Elpis Israel, and I hope you do that on a regular basis, but when you're reading Elpis Israel, on page 289 of the Logos edition, which is the original, with some footnotes, additions, and pictures, and so forth. But in the original edition of Elpis Israel, on page 289, Brother Thomas has a very long list of things that Jacob's sons actually believed with regards to the plan and purpose of God, the plan of salvation. So look at page 289 of Elpis Israel sometime at your leisure. And he summarizes the belief system that they had at that time. We believe that the faithful that are listed in the book of Genesis had an understanding of the revelations of the eternal spirit more comprehensive than at least I might have originally thought. God does not expect anyone to blindly accept that which he knows not of. Sufficient and adequate knowledge was supplied to all who, with an honest and good heart, had a true desire for justification regardless of what age they lived in. Thank you.